If you would take out your prayer lists again, and we will go to the back there where we have our notes laid out for us tonight. Yesterday morning, I sat down for a time of just reading through God's Word, and I went to the Lord in prayer and asked Him, Lord, this morning, would You show me something out of Your Word that would be a blessing and a help to my life? And just a simple prayer that I believe we ought to pray before we ever come to the Word of God is, Lord, open my eyes, teach me something. Don't let me just read words and not get anything. And so when I was done praying, I have a little list in which you can mark off chapters. And so I looked at my list and I thought, okay, well, Lord, where do You want me to read out of today? And I noticed there that 1 Chronicles chapter 4 was the passage that I was to read. So I get there and look at the first couple verses. Right away, I was a little bit discouraged. It was just one name after another. I thought, well, Lord, how am I ever going to get anything out of this? So I thought, well, maybe I'll go online and I'll just have somebody read it for me, because I'll be honest with you, a lot of these names, it'll take me a half an hour just to read through a chapter trying to say all these names properly. And so I began scanning through it and struggling through some of these unique names that we'd never call our children today. Amen. And then I get to verses 9 and 10, and it just stands out. It was like a gem in the midst of this difficult chapter. Some verses that make sense. And I began to look at those, and I thanked the Lord. And of course, right after that, we go through names. And it wasn't any better this morning. Chapter number 6 is even worse. But I praise the Lord that even in the midst of these chapters where it's just genealogies and names of so-and-so begat so-and-so, or maybe a little comment here or there about what this family did or who they were or where they lived, that the Lord offers some wonderful teaching. And this is where I'd like to look at verses 9 and 10 and speak on the subject of changing one's destiny. And hopefully I'll be able to bring out that subject tonight, as we'll be looking at several points as you would follow the train of thought that I have. And I trust that it'll be a blessing and a help to you as you look to God's Word. But would you follow along as I read in verse number 9? And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, O, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. And many of you have heard, and there's been some books that have been written in previous years on the prayer of Jabez. And I'll tell you, tonight's message is going to be different than any of the books or the messages that you've heard, just because of how the Lord worked in this passage and some things that He showed me. So let's have a word of prayer as we ask the Lord to open our eyes now. Dear gracious Father, Lord, I thank You that You're always faithful. Every time we open Your Word and ask for a blessing or for teaching or wisdom or instruction, that, Lord, You always give it. And I find, Lord, that many times You bring a message to us at the appropriate time and a time that we need it the most. We want to thank You tonight for being a faithful God, and we ask that tonight that You would open our eyes to the truth of these verses, that we may see out of the life of this man a great blessing and understand how maybe we need to respond in our life. And so I pray now that You bless the teaching and preaching of Your Word. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You know, in these two verses, this is the only account of this man, Jabez. There's no other cross references that you can go to. It's not like you can read about him in the Kings or he shows up in one of the Psalms. Many times there's characters in which you'll kind of see throughout the Old Testament or New Testament jumping up at all times. And so these are the only two verses that speak about this man. And yet they are some very powerful verses, as we would tend to focus our attention on verse number 10 of how this man called upon the name of the Lord. And he says, Lord, I want a blessing from You. I'd like You to enlarge my coast, and I'd like Your hand to be with me to deliver me and keep me from evil. And then these simple words where it says, and God granted him that which he requested. And what a wonderful phrase there. And that is what each and every one of us want in our life, that when we come to the Lord in prayer and say, God, could I have a blessing? And God, not just a blessing, but this is what I want. Those are the words that we long and desire to hear, where God says, I grant it to you. But we know that no man or woman can just come to God and demand things, especially a demand like the demand or the prayer of Jabez, where he says, Lord, I want more property, enlarge my coast, give me a bigger place. And yet God just seems, without any question, to just offer it up to this man. And we understand that there is more to it than just coming and saying, well, Lord, this is what I want. This is what I desire. Would you please give it to me? God is not a genie. And God is not just someone that is sitting there waiting to give us our every desire, wish, and want. But there is something about this man that I find brought it to a place where he prayed a very powerful prayer. Now, the first thing that I noticed was this name Jabez. And I believe that there is power in a name. The Bible speaks about this, as it would say in the latter part of verse number 9, that his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. You'll see this throughout the scriptures, that there are times in which babies are brought into this world, and either the mother or the father will bring about a name. There are sometimes the names that are already given to them. God came to many couples, to Samson's parents, this is what I want you to name him. To Zechariah and to Elizabeth, saying, when your child comes, I want his name to be John the Baptist. Even Mary and Joseph, the angel of the Lord came and said, you don't get to pick his name, this is what his name will be. But there are times in which folks just name them after themselves, or they had a special name. And I believe that Jabez's name had a meaning here. That he, as his mother brought him forth, she said, I'm going to name him Jabez because I bear him with sorrow. Now, this is not just the sorrow that God speaks about in Genesis chapter 3, that part of the curse and the of sin, that there will be sorrow in childbirth. But this is something that either the labor or the birthing process was very sorrowful, or quite possibly that when she saw her son, he was a depressed little fella. Maybe that's what it was. Some people say this, well, you know, I'm just going to wait until I see my child and then I will name them, depending on their personality or their character at that time. And this is possibly what this mother did. But I believe there is a power in the name. Notice in Proverbs chapter number 22 that names have specific meanings. Names have specific meanings. In Proverbs chapter number 22, the Word of God says this, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Now, what Solomon is instructing us in offering wisdom is this, that there is power in a name. That what we name our children or the names that we have, that there is a meaning that is attached with that. I believe that's why we as Christians, that when we have children, we ought to give some thought to the name in which we give them. That I believe that, first of all, we ought to consider some good, strong biblical names. That we would have a child's name after a great hero of a man of faith or a woman of faith or someone that would magnify and glorify God. And I believe there's some truth in that, that what we name our children, that there is going to be a character trait that is attached with that. I think about the name David, which had great meaning. The name David means beloved of God. Beloved of God, or you could also say this, that it was simply loving. And certainly as the Bible would portray this man David, that even God himself said that he was a man after God's own heart. There was a great relationship between David and God Almighty, and we would categorize it as a love relationship. There is probably no other man besides the Apostle John that in his writings you saw that this man loved God with all his heart. The name Jesus is another very powerful name in its meaning. As the angel came to Mary and Joseph and said, his name shall be Jesus because he is the Savior of the world. Now, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ has many different names. That He is our Lord, He's our Messiah, He's our Savior, He is the Prince of Peace. And there are numerous names that reflect upon our Lord Jesus Christ. But what a powerful name and a powerful meaning that Jesus comes in and it declares through His name that I am the Savior. I am the Messiah that has come to save my people from their sins. So names have specific meanings, but also we see that names reveal character traits. Since you're in Proverbs, look over to chapter number 21 and verse number 24, where the scripture says, "Proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath." Now here we do not have a name that people would literally use. I've never run across someone that has been called a scorner, and that is their name that's on their birth certificate. I have run across a lot that should be called that because that's their attitude and that's their character. They mock God. They mock the commands of God. They rebel against authority. And that's what the Bible says. They are proud and they are haughty. They are arrogant. And yet we see here that this name, whenever someone refers to an individual as a scorner, there is a meaning that is attached to it. Generally, in this case, it is a meaning that we don't want to have. It's like the word fool. We ought never to call people fools. But what do? When we say, well, you're a fool, we're saying you're acting foolish. You're doing silly things or not very bright things. There's always a meaning behind it, and it usually brings out or enhances a character trait. I think of a couple men in the Bible whose names really brought out their character. Jacob means trickster or cheat. And you look at his life, Jacob was a deceitful man. He deceived his brother Esau, he deceived his uncle Laban, he deceived his father. His life, until the Lord came in, as we spoke about in the men's breakfast, and changed his name to Israel, to the Prince of God, he was a deceitful man. And so we look at that and say, well, Jacob lived up to his name. Now, here's another one. You think about this. This is interesting. Gideon means warrior. Now, here's a man that was a little confused on what his name meant. But at the end, it proved to be true that he was a great warrior. We look at this man and say, this man went into battle against thousands and thousands of Midianites with 300 men. And all he had was a trumpet, a pitcher and a torch. And he walks up there and surrounds them. And we would say, this is not a warrior. And he didn't think it. He was hiding out from them. But God realized the potential and the character trait that he didn't realize. And this man is noted as a great warrior in the Word of God. So we see here again that names reveal character traits. Now look at this one. I like this. Names change historical accounts. In 1 Kings chapter number 1, I really enjoyed this verse when I was reading it. In 1 Kings chapter number 1, here David is praying for his son Solomon. The Bible says, "And moreover, the king's servants came to bless our Lord King David, saying, God make the name of Solomon better than thy name, and make his throne greater than thy throne. And the king bowed himself upon the bed." And then in verse 48, and as it goes on, he begins to pray and ask that Solomon would have a name that is greater or better than his own name, and that his throne or his kingdom would be greater than his throne. What a great prayer for our father to pray for his son or for his children is, God, would you use my child in a greater fashion than you have used me? And certainly as we look at the historical accounts of that of the life of David and the life of Solomon, you see a difference there. David's reign was full of battle, wars, conflicts. But it's interesting that in Solomon's day, there was great peace and prosperity. Now, you ever thought about what the name Solomon means? Well, it simply means peace. What an interesting name. And how that fit in so well to his life. You know, I think of some men in the Word of God that their names were changed and thus it changed history. Abram was changed to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, I believe it is. Abram means the father of few. Abraham means the father of many. And remember, the Lord changed his name after he gave him that great promise, saying, I'm going to multiply thy seed as the sands of the sea and as the stars in the heaven. He says, I'm going to make a great nation out of you. One moment he was a father of just a few, and now he was a father of a nation. I think about the Apostle Paul. His first name was Saul. Then God changed it later on to Paul. Well, the difference between that is Saul means rough one. But Paul means God is merciful. And you think about his life. Before he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, Saul was a rough one, wasn't he? He was out there in the church, throwing people in prison, standing by and watching those being executed. He was a rough character. Yet when Jesus Christ got a hold of his life, you see it all through the writings of Paul. He says, wow, God is so merciful to me. He says, once I was a blasphemer, a persecutor. I was a wicked man. He says, I was the chiefest of sinners. But God came down and saved my wretched soul. And you think about how his history was changed through a name change. That he was no longer persecuting the church, but now he was starting churches. That's just an interesting study on the meaning of names and what names symbolize and bring forth. Now, I said all that to get to this. The name Jabez, and you can choose many different definitions here on what you want to write into your space. But the name Jabez means to grieve, to be sorrowful, or if you want to just write these words, a man of sorrow. A man of sorrow. This is what his name meant. So we find that once again, as the Bible stands with many names, there are powerful meanings behind them. But now I would like us to look at the power in a word. If you would go back to 1 Chronicles chapter number 4, we'll look at the first part of verse number 9 now, where the Bible says that Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. Now, I want us to look at this phrase, more honorable. Now, of course, in the English language, right away, when we hear the word honorable, we think of somebody that is notable, someone that we respect, somebody that is high up in a position maybe of authority or power. And that is what the Bible is saying about Jabez, that he was more respected, he was more honored than his other brethren. But when I began to study out this phrase, it was interesting to note that in the Hebrew, it has two different meanings. It is either used in a bad sense or in a good sense. And I thought this was a key to understanding the subject that we're going to speak about, of changing one's destiny. In the Hebrew, more honorable can mean this, that in a bad sense, it means to be burdensome, dull, or abounding in grief. Now, this is where it really threw me for a loop. Because I read this and I thought, okay, Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. So why in the world, in the next statement, would his mother call him a grieving, burdensome, dull individual? And I was beginning to look through, and it's very difficult because there's no other reference to this man that I can compare it to. So I thought, well, maybe God's talking about a pretty depressed young man here. Maybe God is pointing out this character trait or personality that he was just a dead weight. This kid didn't laugh. He didn't smile. He didn't have any fun. What was up with Jabez? But of course, we have to go to the Word of God. And in the English, that word honorable is also used in the good sense. And in the Hebrew, more honorable also means this, to be numerous, rich, worthy of respect. Now, this is what I want to say in using this, is that you imagine yourself having a name by the name of Jabez. That's what your mother named you. When she looked at you, she said, what a burden. What a dull child. This child is full of grief. Not only do they not laugh and they smile, but they are making me miserable. What a terrible name to have. Wouldn't you want to change your name? You know, that's where I kind of got the subject of changing one's destiny. Throughout the Word of God, we've seen men like David, who said that his name meant beloved of God, and he lived out his name. We think of men like Jacob, who meant deceitful or a cheat, and how he lived out his name. And of course, men like Saul, who he was seen to have the mercy and grace of God upon his life. Well, imagine this, Jabez living out his life. What kind of life would that be? Be a pretty depressing life, wouldn't it? Be a pretty sorrowful and dull existence. And this is where I want to look at this verse in a different light. That if you think about this, that Jabez is just a sorrowful, grief-stricken, dull, burdensome man. He comes and he says in verse number 10, God, I want that all to change. Instead of God coming and changing his name, Jabez calls out to God and says, God, change the character, change the historical account of my life. And that's where I want to focus the next few moments on, is the power in prayer. The power in prayer. You know, I believe that many of us go through times in our life where we live out the name of Jabez. We're a burdensome individual. We're dull, we're depressed, we're downstricken, we're discouraged, we're frustrated. We're not bringing a whole lot of joy to our life or to the joy to anybody else's life. We're living miserably. So what is it that we do when we're in that pit, when we're in that valley, that life is just bland, it's boring, it's burdensome, and we feel like we're not living our life to the fullest potential that God wants us to live? That's what I want to look at here. So let's just think about Jabez. I'm tired of being depressed. I'm tired of being discouraged. God, I'm going to pray a prayer, and I'd ask that you would grant it so that my life can live to its full potential. And would you follow with me as you think about those things and the power in his prayer? In verse number 10, the Bible says, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And then it says, and God granted him that which he requested. Number one, it comes down to this of our theme for the year of looking beyond ourselves. Number one, Jabez looked beyond himself to God. Notice he says there, he called on the God of Israel. I believe these words are very important. Not just God, but it says the God of Israel. We notice that the God of Israel was always declared to be the one true God of heaven. That God made a clear distinction. He says, I am not as the other gods in this world. He says, I am the one and only true God. And I am a jealous God, and I will not share my glory or my honor with anybody else. And here Jabez understood this, that he was not just going to call out to any God, looking and searching for something that would lift his spirits. But he says, I will call out upon the one God of heaven. That's a very important statement there. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter number 4. Deuteronomy chapter number 4 and verse number 39. The scripture says here, and there are numerous accounts of this where the Lord declares it. But he says, know therefore this day and consider it in thine heart that the Lord, he is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. Amen. There is only one true God in heaven. And you know, this is where we have to understand that when we get down and burdensome and frustrated and discouraged and depressed in life, is that we make sure that we direct our prayers to the right God. So often we're praying to some medicine, or we're praying to some self-help. We're praying to some situation or something that would come into our life to lift us out of that valley. But Jabez understood it wasn't going to come through any of that. It's only going to come through God Almighty. And brethren, let me say this. If you're going through a time in which you are a man or a woman of sorrow, the only one who can answer your prayer is God in heaven. No one else can. And I'll tell you, you can pray to the world, and you can pray to some preacher, you can pray to some religion, to some church, to some self-help, but it will not answer like God answers. know, I see there that this was his belief. He believed in the God of heaven. That's what causes us to pray to him. The reason we don't pray to the one true God is really it comes down to this. We don't believe that he really is. But as he declares, he says, I am the one true God. There is none else. But not only that, he prayed to the God of Israel, and that refers to the keeper of the covenant. Look in Daniel chapter number 9. When Daniel was praying for the sins of his nation, and Daniel was a great man of prayer, constantly praying, morning, afternoon, and night, always before the throne of God. In Daniel chapter number 9, he's praying and confessing the sins, much like Nehemiah and other men did, for his nation that was going through a time of captivity. Daniel was drawn out into Babylon. He was there in the palace of the king. And he was in dire straits. But here, in verse number 4 of chapter number 9, listen to what he says. And I prayed unto the Lord my God, and made my confession, and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, look at this, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. Now, why would Daniel say, I pray to the God in heaven or this great and dreadful God, but why would he mention this, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him? Well, because that's how God was revealed to Israel. Is he was a God that kept his promises. He was a God that kept the covenant and the promises that he had given to his people. And so when Jabez came to God and said, God, I want you to answer my prayer, he appealed to the God who keeps his word. Now, what's that? Well, that translates into a word that we use often, and that is the word faith. How are you and I to pray? Do we just utter up prayers and come and fall before God and say, God, I'm depressed, I'm discouraged, I'm burdensome, and so if God, would you help me? No, that prayer isn't going to go anywhere. We direct our prayer to God in belief, but we step out on the promises that he will hear us and he will answer us and he will deliver us out of that time. Faith is required. And we see that in that phrase that as Jabez looked beyond himself, he understood, I can't change who I am, but I know a God in heaven who can. And I know that he's a God that promises to deliver his people, and he's a God that promises to bless his people, and so I'm going to appeal to the God that keeps the covenant. And I believe we ought to appeal to God in the same fashion, brethren. I believe we'll see a lot more prayer answered when we truly get before Almighty God and stop with this just uttering up of prayers because it's time to pray and just lifting up vain and useless words. When we don't actually believe that we're in the kneeling in the presence of God and asking for his help. But if we're not willing to step out on the promises in of this book by faith, the Bible says that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And so we have to believe that God is a God that keeps his word. Let's move on to the next thing, and that is this. He looked beyond himself to others. You say, well, where in the world did he look to others? All I see here is about Jabez. Well, notice in the phrase, he says, all that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coasts, and that thine hand might be with me. Now, where do others fall in? Well, let me say this. When we are praying and asking God to bless us, it has to start with one. And I believe there is power in one. And even though we may be praying that God would bless us or enlarge our coast, it is with the mindset that we want to go and bless others. I think of some men in the Word of God that were used in a time of prayer. They asked God to bless them. I think of Moses, about time and time again, he came and said, God, I can't go on. You need to strengthen me. You need to help me. What was Moses' motivation behind that? So that he may lead the nation of Israel to the promised land. I think about Isaiah who came and fell before God and said, here am I, Lord, send me. He wanted to be used to God. Why did Isaiah want to be used? So that he could go to the nations and proclaim the message of God. Every single time we see that of a man saying, God bless me, or enlarge my coast, or do something with me. It is to be a blessing to others. Jabez was not a selfish man that looked and said, well, I'm just so upset that I have a little piece of property. So I'm going to pray and ask God to give me a huge rolling ranch. No, he says, God, enlarge my coast so that I may bless my family, that I may bless my nation, and that I may be used of you. Now, remember, we're talking about this. He appealed to the God who keeps his covenant. Go back with me to Genesis chapter number 12. Who did God give his covenant to? Well, it was to Jabez's father, Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation, or the nation of Israel. And listen to chapter number 12 and verse number 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now, in this promise and this covenant, which is the Abrahamic covenant that was given, what does God talk about? He says, I want to bless you, Abraham. Now, how was God going to bless Abraham? By extending his land, by blessing him with possessions so that he could be a blessing to other nations. God blessed him with the promise that if those other nations would rise up against you, I'll curse them. But if they bless you, then I'll bless them. What a wonderful promise here that we see even in effect today. Of the nations who bless Israel are blessed of God, and the nations who curse Israel are cursed of God. It's still going on today. Why? Because we have a God in heaven that keeps his covenant. And Jabez looked at this and said, God, would you enlarge my coast so that I may be part of this promise and this blessing so that I can bless all nations? Now you say, well, how does that fit into me? Do I get to ask God to give me a bigger house so that I can have guests come over and show hospitality? Is that what God wants? Well, I think there's a spiritual application here. See, he prayed for the blessing of Abraham. You and I need to pray for the blessing of Christ. Go to Psalm chapter number 2. Psalm chapter number 2 and verse number 8. The Bible says this of the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father is speaking to his Son. He says in verse number 8, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Now, brethren, what are we to be about? What is our inheritance in this world? What is eternal? What's going to last for all of time? Souls, right? It's not this, well, Lord, give me a big property and a nice house and many cars and all that, and I promise to use it for your glory. What is of eternal value is souls. And we ought to stand in that same place. I'll tell you, this is one of the cures to getting out of depression and discouragement and frustration, is to look beyond yourself and look of how can I be a blessing to others. Those who are generally self-focused and always looking inward are generally the most depressed. Because I'll tell you this, when you look inside, you don't see a whole lot but a grieving man, a burdensome man, a dull man, a sorrowful man. That's what you see. And Jabez said, you know what? I'm not going to focus on me. I'm not going to live out my name. I'm going to ask God to use me to bless others. The Bible says that we ought to look on the needs of others. And we ought to seek to be a blessing. You know, that's really where the Lord Jesus Christ set the example. Is he says, I'm not here for myself. He says, I'm here to glorify my Father, and I'm here to reach the lost of Israel. He says, I'm here to die for the world. He constantly looked beyond himself. You know, we're speaking about this in our staff meeting in Psalm 67, a great passage why don't you turn there real quick? I just want to point out one thing and then I'll let you study it on your own. But Psalm 67. Here this psalmist asks for a blessing. He says, God, be merciful unto us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us, Selah. Now, what was the reason for this prayer? Verse number 2 tells us that thy way may be known among upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Look in verse number 7. God shall bless us and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. This psalmist understood how to pray to God. He says, when I pray, I'm not asking for my own needs. He says, God, bless me so that Your name may go out across this whole world, that the saving message of Jesus Christ may be proclaimed to every creature. And Christian, this is what we are about. A Christian that is not investing in souls is not going to reach or meet their life's potential. There's some Christians that need to change their destiny. Their destiny is to go through life right now of accomplishing nothing for eternal glory. But we need some like Jabez who will say, God, I'm tired of living for self. Bless me so that I may bless others. You know, I find it hard to dwell on my own problems and my own wants when I'm so focused on other people. It's very difficult to do that. I'd rather invest in others and let God take care of me. See, brethren, this is where we ought to pray. Is God, help me to look beyond myself so that I can enlarge my coast, not for my glory, but for Your glory in reaching souls. So you following me tonight? There's some wonderful principles here. Let's go on. In verse number 10 again, we're looking through here, but number 3, it says He looked beyond Himself to assurance. Jabez looked beyond himself to assurance. He says here that after he prays that the Lord would enlarge his coast, he says that thine hand might be with me. Now, that's a very powerful statement. He says, Lord, I need You. Brethren, you can come to this and say, well, I'm praying to God in heaven and I'm asking that He'd bless me and He'd use me to reach and minister to other people. But remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, that without me ye can do nothing. He says, you have to go through me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. And the same is true here. Jabez understood that if God, You give me this land and You allow me to bless other families and bless other nations through the prosperity of this land, it's not going to come through my own strength or my own power or effort. And there's some things we see here. I did a little bit of a study on this. This is not all the scripture references in relation to the hand of God. But I want to give you a few that are very important. Number one, God's hand leads us. Now, I included here in Job, chapter number 12. We'll say, well, I don't like how God's hand led Job. Well, none of us do. But sometimes God's hand leads us through difficulties. But there's other times in which He leads us through blessings. Job said in chapter number 12 and verse number 10, who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this? Man, what a statement from this man. He's basically saying this. You know, you guys, all my friends here are trying to figure it out. But all I know is the hand of God brought this to pass. Look at verse number 10. In whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. Job says, I stand in the middle of God's hand. It's God's hand that moves and leads me. Brethren, do you understand that? That where you are today is where God wants you to be. Now, He may want to move you, but there's going to have to be that assurance that you're in the middle of God's hand. And as He directs, whether it be in the mountaintops or He directs it down to the valley, you're still in God's hand. All life, all breath is within the power of His hand. But we see also in Psalm 138 that His hand protects us. See, this was important to Jabez as well. He knew that there would be enemies that would come up against him, try to take his land, try to take his possessions. You read through the Old Testament, it's slaughter after slaughter. Coming in and taking all the cattle and all the sheep and all the possessions. And he understood that if God, You're going to give me great wealth, then I'm going to need You to protect me from those who would seek to steal it. He says in verse number 7, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Though thou stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Look at verse number 10. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Brother, I'll tell you this, just like Jabez, we need God's protection in this life, don't we? That when we seek to go out and be used of God and expand and enlarge our coast, there will be enemies that will rise up against us and try to destroy us. But God says this. He says the works that are in God's hand, God perfects. It is perfect there, and God does what's right. We see in 1 Chronicles chapter number 29 that the hand of God supports us. The hand of God supports us as once again they're declaring the goodness and the power of God. In verse number 12, both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. God strengthens us. He supports us every day. It tells us other things, that the riches, the expanding and the enlarging of the coast comes from God as well. Amen. But then in Psalm 145 in verse number 16, the next thing we see is that his hand satisfies us. As he declares, the psalmist David said in 16, thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. And then, of course, in John chapter number 10 and verse number 29, as Jesus was speaking about our eternal security, he said of his Father, he says, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And we could go on and on. You just do a word search on the hand of God. The hand of God and what he offers. He leads us. He protects us. He supports us. He satisfies us. And he secures us. And brethren, I'll tell you this. Jabez needed this. He needed the hand of God. He says, thine hand needs to be with me, God. But then lastly tonight, we'll finish up with point number 4. And that is this. He looked beyond himself to victory. He says in the latter part, that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. There's three things here that I believe Jabez was asking God for. Is he said, number one, keep me from my flesh. Keep me from my flesh. Whenever we see that, deliver me or keep me from evil, it refers to that. In Romans chapter 7 and verse 18, we're familiar with that passage. The Apostle Paul says, I know that that which dwells within me, there is no good. That which dwells within my flesh, it's just wickedness, it's carnality, it's contrary to God. But he said, as Jabez said, Lord, keep me from the evil. Paul said, who shall deliver me from this body of death? He says, I thank the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So that I may serve him with my mind. You know, one of the things that we need in changing one's destiny is this, is to keep us from our flesh. You know, a lot of times it's our flesh that takes us down. It's our flesh that makes us a Jabez. Whenever we start to live in the flesh, I'll tell you, if you're a true child of God, you will be grieved. Now, a lot of times that's where it comes. Christians who are depressed and discouraged, a lot of times it comes down to this. There's a sin problem. The Holy Spirit of God is being grieved and suppressed within their life, and there's no joy, there's no happiness. You know, we ought to pray this. We ought to look beyond ourselves. Say, God, give us victory. Keep me from myself. That's a wonderful prayer to pray. Amen. Then keep me from my enemy. The Bible tells us in John chapter 8 that Satan, the father, our father, that we were born into this world having the same character traits as. He was a murderer from the beginning. The truth abideth not in him. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. You know, there's a tendency in our life to kind of go back to the old father's character trait from time to time, isn't there? That's when the flesh gets out of control. We start following after the ways and the teachings of Satan instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. But do you know where the victory comes? I love this verse in 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 4. Everybody ought to have this underlined. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? So you know what? We ought to pray this. God, keep me from my enemy. Keep me from my enemy who had come up for me. And then, I like this one, is keep me from my destiny. You know, remember, Jabez means a man of sorrow. Let me connect two things here, and we'll close with these verses. In Isaiah chapter number 53, we have the prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ and His death upon the cross. The Bible says in verse number 3 about our Savior, He is despised and rejected of men. And then notice this, a man of sorrows. Jesus Christ was a Jabez, a man of sorrows. So, was that the destiny of our Lord? To always be a man of sorrow. Does God grieve today? You know, I thought of the verse. I didn't include it on your list, but you can write it in if you would. Hebrews chapter number 12. We see this transition from a man of sorrow to a man of joy. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, we all start off like Jabez's. We're men and women of sorrow. We are born into this world by sorrow. And we add the sorrow and the curse of sin upon us. But I'll tell you this, Jesus Christ wants to change your destiny. And He wants to bring that joy and satisfaction. You know, we may not be able to change the flesh and the nature that we have. We're still going to battle against the flesh. We're still going to have an enemy that will stir up and tempt the flesh. But I'll tell you this, we ought to pray also. God, keep me from my destiny. I'm going to look to victory, not look to defeat. I'll tell you, there's a great message there on how to change one's destiny. Tonight you may be discouraged. You may be depressed. You may be burdensome. Your life may be dull and boring. But it doesn't have to be. What you have to do is get before and pray to the God in heaven. Ask Him to give you a ministry. Give you an opportunity to look beyond yourself and meet the need of somebody else. And as you do so, ask Him for those assurances to keep you faithful and always be looking to victory. Never, never look to defeat. And so the Lord bless you tonight. I hope that was a challenge and a great help to you. And what we'd like to do is just give you a few more prayer requests and then we'll go to a time of prayer.